Podcast.
Black Heart Gold Podcast 54, divide 54 by 2, Adam Jacoby.
I believe that is the number 27.
27, WrestleMania 27.
Yes!
It's Kismet. Badman Adam Jacoby, it is the annual WrestleMania preview podcast. If you don't like it, just turn the damn thing off.
Yep, it's not our responsibility if you don't like wrestling.
Yep, go do something else. We're not offended.
Nope. I didn't know Kismet was wrestling this year. I thought Kismet was injured.
How great would a wrestler be Kismet, or named Kismet be? Like a fat guy.
Of course.
You have to have like a goatee. I think that would be the key to Kismet. The Kismet, so to speak.
I'm hanging up.
So it's Tuesday night. So if things happen after Tuesday night, what, I don't know. I think they're pretty well set, but if something does happen, we're not going to be able to discuss it because, well, we can't go forward in time. And we're not doing this over again. We're only doing it once.
That's right.
So last year we discussed the fact that, it was so sad that, you know, as great as WrestleMania looked like it could be, that they just couldn't live up to the years where Rock and Stone Cold were holding forth and kicking ass.
And apparently Vince McMahon agreed.
He listens to the podcast. Who knew?
This is true.
Vince McMahon. Well, we also gave election tips to his wife. Didn't work out quite as well as the WrestleMania part. So, The Rock comes back. People go crazy. Stone Cold is back, kind of.
People go crazy.
Not nearly in the way I think that The Rock is planning on coming back. But he is going to be involved at least in one match.
Yeah, it's going to be weird to see how they use these two guys. Because I don't want Stone Cold to be back just to play referee and maybe drop a Stone Cold Stunner on Michael Cole, and then, you know, that's it, and he's gone after 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, but you know, that match has to be fast.
Oh, yeah, it has to.
And there has to be somebody that's going to stop the inevitable Jack Swagger run-in. And I think that's where Austin probably comes into play.
Probably.
I don't think Austin and King have anything in their past that would really indicate that he'd be pro-King. Other than the fact that Jim Ross clearly is pro-King, and Austin has always been pro-Ross, except for that one time that he kicked Ross's ass. And this kind of plays into the old theory, the theory that came along with Vince McMahon and Bret Hart last year, that all of these guys from the late 90s and early 2000s are just trying to right all the wrongs that they did to people that they really actually kind of liked over that time.
Wait, what?
Oh, the only reason that they had that stupid-ass McMahon-Hart match last year was because Vince McMahon's trying to save his soul.
Oh, okay. I thought that you were saying that the wrestlers were the ones trying to right the wrongs.
No, I think...
Okay.
I think Austin's trying to go out as the, you know, as a pure face, and it's a nice way of doing it is to hop in and help Jerry Lawler out when the time comes, and the time will come. We'll get to that in a second.
Yes.
We'll get to Rock, I guess, when we talk about the championship match. Let's go from the bottom of the card up. My guess would be that the first match of the night is probably going to be either Randy Orton, CM Punk, or Sheamus, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet.
Let's say Sheamus, Daniel Bryan. Does anybody care about this match?
No.
No. Sheamus wins.
Sure.
You know why Sheamus wins? Because Triple H is back. Therefore, Sheamus wins.
Oh, and they want somebody to fight with Triple H.
Well, and they want Triple H wants to help out his spotter, as always.
That's right.
If you've spotted Triple H, you've held the world championship. Like, that just goes hand in hand. Daniel Bryan doesn't have an ounce of charisma in his body. There's a reason why they keep pairing him up with women to take the mic off of him.
And even then, it's not compelling at all.
No. It's, well, because they've totally taken any sensibility out of the female characters WWE either, or as well. But the fact is that as bad as they are, and Michael Cole has basically called them out on being terrible in the last few weeks, which has been glorious. But as bad as they are, they're still better than what Daniel Bryan brings to the table on mic work. But he's great in the ring, so they're gonna keep using him. And they just kind of made him into this faceless face. Sheamus probably wins just to get a couple heels across the line.
And yeah, you don't want an entire night of the good guys winning, because that gets boring. And if it's what people start to expect from pay-per-views, then they're not going to watch.
Right. Okay, well, that match out of the way that nobody cares about. Let's get to the 8-man tags. I'm almost certain that will be next. Adam, now is the time. You've been waiting all year to talk about it, because I know you really actually wanted to talk about it last March, but he wasn't really involved in WrestleMania at the time, or WWE for that matter. But your love of Heath Slater knows no bounds.
Heath mode! Heath Slater! The best wrestler in the WWE today, among all wrestlers with a ginger butt cut. He is the most ridiculous person that will be setting foot in a ring in WrestleMania, and I'm including Snooki. But Heath Slater is worse than Snooki, and for that reason, he's my all-time favorite right now. The guy has no business being in the WWE whatsoever. He can't, you know, wrestle. They never let him talk, and for good reason. Again, ginger butt cut. Nobody in the locker room is saying, "Hey, get rid of that. You look horrible. You look like an abortion of the early 90s.
Wow. That's an awfully tough language for your favorite guy.
Well, I'm a complex man. What can I say?
So. But we didn't actually lay the match out. It is the core, which is kind of like the NWO Wolfpack of Nexus.
And it's spelled, by the way, CORRE,
which is how they spelled it on Saved by the Bell.
The what?
Remember the Saved by the Bell where they were in the core?
No, was Slater there?
No, there was no ginger butt cut on Saved by the Bell. Please.
Well, then that's why I don't remember it.
No, there was one where they had like a drill sergeant, and they had to go through like an obstacle course, and Zach was only in it because if he was in the program, then he could like skip out on class or something. They had some scheme worked out with Belding, shockingly, and. So in order to win, the guy who was like head of the core, who reminds me a lot of Denzel Washington, told Zach to split up the teams for the obstacle course. And Zach took all of the jocks for himself and left all of the nerds, because there's only jocks and nerds at Bayside, all of the nerds in the other team, and then it told the guy that they were equal. So then the guy said, well, then fine, you can take all the nerds then against the jocks. And Zach left and then made a Walt Frazier-like return,
Willis Reed?
No, I mean Walt Frazier. I meant Willis Reed. Willis Reed-like return, for the obstacle course where Screech beats one of the jocks through a tire maze completely.
Involved. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How on earth could you possibly remember that? Not the episode, but just the spelling of the core.
I don't know if they actually spelled it that way.
Okay, then what the hell?
I just want to talk about Saved by the Bell.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Fair enough.
Core. So the four, the core four.
Spelled
F-O-R-R-E. Are Wade Barrett. By the way, his name has two R's next to each other, which means you can throw an R, O-R in there.
Barrett.
Ezekiel Lowell Jackson. Justin Gabriel Lowell. And Heath Slaughter. Against what is the most implausible and ridiculous four people that they could possibly imagine for an eight-man tag match at WrestleMania. Santino Marella, who's a punching bag, who somehow came up with a move called the Cobra and seems to be hitting at the right time considering what's going on in the Bronx Zoo. Vladimir Kozlov, who is playing the communist Russian 20 years after being the communist Russian meant anything. The Big Show, who is clearly checked out, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy's 7'4", 450 pounds, and he's 40 years old. It's time to start slowing down.
But he's been slowing down for the last 18 months, which again, more power to him, but here he is in fucking WrestleMania.
Right, and if you're going to give him a WrestleMania, you have to put him in a match like this where he's going to wrestle for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And Kane.
Kane!
Brother of the Underwear Taker, known as the Big Red Machine sometimes. Someone called him the Big Red Monster the other day, and I said that that seems like a euphemism.
That's
for
a yeah. here's my question, and it's slightly related. Do you think Kane is an eventual WWE Hall of Famer?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You do?
First ballot, yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. They just put Abdullah the Butcher in there.
Yeah, but not on the first ballot.
No, but Kane is, unless there's somebody who's going in at the same time that's really big, who I'm not entirely certain, maybe like The Rock or something, but if there's nobody who's like an absolute top 10 guy, Kane's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's just the amount of time he's been in there and played the exact same character the entire time. Like, that's the shocking part for him. I mean, Triple H played 8 different guys.
Yeah, first Hunter Hearst, and then the D-Generation X shit.
The X guy, there's the, he was in Evolution or whatever it was called with Flair.
Oh, that's right.
He was in DX again, but this was Kitty DX. I mean, he's played everything. The Rock was Rocky Maivia and Nation Domination Rock, and you know, then The Rock. Steve Austin played a bunch of stuff in WCW and ECW, and then was the Ringmaster.
I can't believe that didn't catch on.
Yeah, shockingly, he was. You know, he used to be the Million Dollar Champion.
Yeah,
that's the shocking part. They made him a tactician at first, and then by the end of
then
his
they
career,
realized,
they were like, he's not. He's just a brawler. He doesn't know any wrestling skills. He did those matches that were like a submission match, and he'd be like, he doesn't even know a submission hold. He was the ringmaster 6 years before this. But of course, Kane's brother, the Underwear Taker, has had 800 different personas.
My favorite, of course, is the one where Underwear Taker starts rolling in on a motorcycle, right. And I'm not sure that the motorcycle was actually running, because he would just walk it down the entire way.
Right. And then he'd kind of, like, roll it around the ring one time. That was the best bad persona shift ever. Plus, he actually changed where he was from. He went from Death Valley to Houston, Texas.
Oh, that's right.
That was the best part of that. It was like, suddenly he's from Houston. And now he's the last outlaw, which is borderline, idiotic. But
is there any way that we can get Johnny Cash to, like, crawl out of his grave and then, like, bust through the middle of the ring during the match and just choke out the Underwear Taker for biting his shtick like that? Because seriously, come on.
If there's any man who can make Johnny Cash rise from the grave, it would be the Underwear Taker.
Well, technically that's probably true.
Maybe that's what he's trying to do. Ooh. But while all this is going on, Kane, who, by the way, is, I'm pulling it up on Wikipedia right now, 323 pounds, 7 foot tall, and 43 years old, has been the same character since he was Isaac Yankum DDS.
Yeah, all he is Underwear Taker's brother.
Yeah, and it's not even like a good character.
No, there's no depth to it whatsoever. I don't know that they've ever, you know, had a storyline where you're like, wow, that guy really, really carried it.
By the way, the list of former ring names for Kane are fantastic. They include Jack Package. And Mike Unabomb.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Jack Package.
Oh,
by the way, that's in the Wikipedia article on him, which is very, very long.
Shockingly.
The only mention of Jack Package is in the sidebar where they have former ring names. even in early gimmicks, the section on early gimmicks, there's no mention of it.
So are you maybe suggesting that that's a spoof, a joke thing?
No, I think his role, he at one point was probably actually Jack Package, but
that's
probably editing his own profile to take out any reference as to why he was Jack Package.
That's the best porn name.
It really is great, isn't it?
It's like, you couldn't do better if it was like Dick Dildo.
Buck Naked.
Oh, fuck Buckington.
But he was also the fake Diesel. That one time where they had the fake Riz Ramon with the fake Diesel, he was the fake Diesel.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that until now either. But other than that, he's been Kane since 1997, and it hasn't been anything new for Kane other than he took the mask off one time.
Otherwise, and he's been got Kane. Rid of his hair.
Yeah, well, I think the hair might have been attached to the mask.
What?
I don't know. Has anyone ever done that?
Probably.
Mask hair?
Andre Agassi.
Anyway, yeah, he's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer if there's nobody like bigger in front of him. But he's always just been there. He's not a guy who can carry anything.
Yeah.
They did put him in one movie, See No Evil. We should watch that this weekend.
All right, so this match.
This match
we've talked way too much about it already.
Well, we haven't talked about anything about the match itself. It's going to be terrible.
Yes.
They desperately need to get something out of Core, because I think they're going to go back to this Nexus versus Core thing as soon as the Nexus guys get done with their vacation. I think that means they have to put the Core over at the expense of, you know, two washouts and two punching bags.
Yeah, if they don't let the Core win this match, then there's really no point in having them in the WWE, right?
I think that's right. I think this is only here to make Wade Barrett look good.
Yeah.
Unless they want to advance the storyline in some way by breaking him off from them and then letting them fade away.
I would not be opposed to that either.
No, I wouldn't either, but I don't think that's the way they want to go with it. I think they haven't even really got that gimmick off the ground yet by their own ineptitude. But I think they want to see where that goes once the Nexus comes back from their requisite punting vacation. Which I guess means it's as good time as any to talk about CM Punk versus Randy K. Orton. Randy K. Orton. This is one that could be interesting. It's one of there's three matches on this card I really look forward to seeing. This is not interesting at all because of Orton, because we know what Orton is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Orton will walk incredibly slowly to the ring, and he will stare broodingly, and then he'll probably get his ass kicked for a while, and then he'll
be very oily.
He'll be very oily. Yes, he'll be very oily, and he'll get his ass kicked for a little while, and then he'll land a European uppercut out of nowhere, which will lead to that weird backbreaker thing, which will lead to that guillotine DDT, and then he'll start pounding on the ground.
Oh, you forgot that really fast body slam thing.
Oh yes, yeah, so, sorry, the kind of cradle slam thing that he does too. Yeah, that gets in there too.
Yeah.
And then he will start pounding on the ground. And we'll see what happens after that. I really love CM Punk. But I don't know if they'll let him win this.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll let him either. Which is obviously a shame. Sort of a waste of his time and therefore ours. But, no, the audience really just wants to see Randy K. Orton win.
Well, they've been doing the gauntlet thing too, which is never a good sign for the guy at the end of the gauntlet. When it is when they do the we're gonna have you face off against one of his guys a week, and he keeps taking each one of them out, not just by winning but by kicking them in the head. That's never a good sign for the last guy. You build to that last, you know, vengeful destruction with
them. Yeah, you build to the end of the storyline, and the end of is Andy Kay beats CM Punk. The only way that CM Punk doesn't win, the only way he doesn't lose, is if there's some outside interference, and that's how they kickstart a brand new storyline with Randy K. Orton going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Who would interfere on Punk's behalf, though?
Shit, that's a tough one. I don't know.
Or Wade Barrett?
Skip Sheffield.
That fat guy. Brodus Clay.
Time for a Randy Orton Brodus Clay angle.
Rivalry.
going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't know who else they would put in there. And I guess it could possibly happen, but.
Yeah, maybe if it's, God, they wouldn't waste Sheamus on him. Or they wouldn't.
What else are you going to do with Sheamus? And if you've got Paul Levesque pushing it, that they need to get him back in the storylines.
I don't know.
You know what they moved with the other day that they haven't really gone back to? It'd be interesting if the new storyline with Randy K. Orton was with the curious case of Ted DiBiase.
Ooh.
Who's not there, and who's been taking a beating for a year, but if you really wanted to get DiBiase back on the front page, a feud with Orton wouldn't be bad. They've got history.
That's true. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But at the same time, I'm not really sure I see it happening.
No, probably not here. Probably not at WrestleMania. Possibly, down the line. And maybe they're not done with this feud yet. I mean, it's only been 2 months.
What about The Rock?
I think they're saving The Rock to only get involved in Miz Cena, just because The Rock Cena's got so much heat that you can't just give that up after WrestleMania's done.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, maybe Orton. But Orton, Rock would run circles around Orton, too. And that's the other part of it, is that what would Orton do? Get in there and move his neck around and say, I'm going to crush you, and The Rock would just annihilate him.
I will punt your skull.
I'll punt your skull. I don't care if you're the Scorpion King.
He's hearing voices.
Okay. The other undercard matches: Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. The winner is nobody.
Yeah, the winner is hopefully done in 5 minutes.
Unless Cody Rhodes throws him into a trailer like Kevin Nash once did, no one cares.
Yeah.
Your
Cody Rhodes is pretty terrible.
Well, Cody Rhodes is awful, but he's still better than Mysterio.
Well, no, I mean Mysterio's better, I'm not saying that because I like Rey Mysterio, because I don't. I'm so tired of his shit.
You're gaga for Rey Mysterio.
I will.
By the way,
I will beat the tall off.
I think it's about time we tell our listeners about your 619 tattoo.
I will swear to God, I will throw Tom Fornelli at you.
All right, so we don't even talk about that match. That match is terrible, but
yeah, fuck it.
The other undercard match, and this one is going to get more play than it ever possibly should. Lay Cool, Layla and Mrs. Underwear Taker, Michelle McCool, and Dolph Ziggler with Vicky Guerrero in their corner. versus Trish Stratus, John Morrison, and Snooki. Why?
I don't know, because nobody, Snooki, you know, nobody's gonna make the decision to pay for this of her if they weren't gonna buy it already.
No, but it gets them, it does get them, McMahon's always looking for national press, I think, more than even people buying the show. He just wants to get WWE in front of as many people as possible. And putting Snooki there probably does it. But still, why? 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 They had this terrible, for people that didn't watch Raw last night, they had this terrible bar fight thing.
Which apparently she was legitimately fucked up for.
Oh, I don't, yeah. Well, she was drinking a Long Island iced tea. It's a bad idea in a glass, but...
Oh, by the way, here's... Did you notice something that you know, the guy that comes up to hit on her, like at the very beginning of that thing? Didn't you think he looked a little familiar?
A little bit, yeah.
Did, like, maybe he's the same guy that punched her in the face?
Was it really?
I really think it is. I haven't seen any mention of it, but I tell you, it looks exactly like that dude. And, of course, she ends up punching him in the face for the thing.
Right.
But I think it was Brad Farrow.
Could we get some outside interference here? No, look, there's one way this match ends, and it's with Snooki pinning Vicky Guerrero.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's just no other way the match can possibly end other than Snooki pinning Vicky Guerrero while Dolph Ziggler futilely tries to jump in to stop it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So then we're down to the last four, and we'll take them in reverse order of how they will show up, because it's almost certainly will be the final four matches, unless the Snooki match shows up in the final four. Jerry the King Lawler versus Michael Cole. And I know you're with me on this. Michael Cole has been genius for about 5 months now.
Yes, he has been a wonderful breath of fresh air to announcing, because, you know, before it was two toadies, you know.
Right.
When Michael Cole was playing it straight, he was boring, and Jerry Lawler had turned from a heel into the biggest shill in WWE history, like worse than Vince McMahon when Vince was doing the announcing himself.
You want to talk about guys who are trying to save their soul. All Jerry Lawler wants to be right now is loved by children.
Yeah, that's all he's doing.
I'll wear shiny shirts, and I will praise everything John Cena does, and I will act like a jackass, and I will go after this easy target that is Michael Cole.
Yeah, and it really honestly seems like he's trying to set an example for his fifth grader son or grandson be a grandson or something like that. But, like, you know, the cool grandpa.
Yeah.
And it's so tiresome. So thankfully Michael Cole's been an absolutely epic troll.
Right.
He's not really a heel so much as a troll.
Like Clay Travis watches Michael Cole and says, wow, I kind of wish I could be like him.
I do have to say, though, at the same time, the family aspect of it is a little weird.
Oh, you know, when he went after King's mom.
Yeah.
That was actually, like, I cringed.
And yeah.
There's not a whole lot that wrestling can do to make me cringe.
But you know, recently dead mothers, that's one way to
do
it.
That's one way of doing it.
And then bringing out the
son.
Grandmaster Sexy, and he's like, look at me now, daddy! Look at me! It's like, whoa, this is some really weird shit. Like, I didn't want to see family therapy for, you know, an unhappy Lawler clan. Like, no.
To fill in listeners who weren't paying that much attention during this.
Yes, please.
Michael Cole is the play-by-play guy for the WWE, and Jerry Lawler has been the color commentator for years. Lawler used to be in that classic WWE, WWF role of the heel color commentator. You know, the Bobby and the Brain Heenan role. of years past, gave that up about 5 years ago in order to be this kind of like, first it was kind of the straight shooter, I'll call it as I see a guy, and then became a total shill for John Cena.
Yeah, and really a total shill for all the little dumb catchphrases that Vince McMahon likes. And it was sort of a gradual shift, too. It wasn't immediate.
No.
But, you know, he would spend time, like, bad-mouthing The Rock, for example, because he was still a heel, you know, when Rock was a face. And then all of a sudden, you know, The Rock would be about to do the people's elbow, and then you hear the King going, the most electrifying move in all sports entertainment. You're like, wait, what? Why are you excited about this? You're supposed to hate this.
He's now at the point of just obnoxious.
And now he's full blown that. Yes.
Right. And, so WWE, who just when I think that they've kind of lost their way, find something out of nothing, turned the play-by-play guy, Michael Cole, who had been a very by-the-book kind of, you know, unassuming play-by-play guy, into this glorious troll. And they did it through very weird means. One, they had him as the voice of the anonymous WWE Raw general manager, who there's a computer on a podium. And by the way, if you check it every once in a while, if they have the camera angle from behind the computer's clearly not on. And all of the notes of what the emails from the Raw general manager are saying are taped to the keyboard of the computer for them to read.
Yes.
But it involves Michael Cole stopping all of the action to yell, "May I have your attention, please?" which drives the crowd insane.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's all you really ask for anyway. I think once that happened, they realized they were on something. And they kind of like...
Yeah, was playing it totally straight.
Right. And then they turned it into Michael Cole as just complete troll. And then he got in with The Miz. We'll talk about The Miz a little bit later. But he became The Miz's great supporter. And that really put it over the top because Miz and Lawler don't get along. And it's off the races from there. So then the Raw general manager said if either one hit the other one, that they'd be fired. So they haven't been able to touch each other for 2-3 months now, and Lawler's been wanting to kick his ass the whole time. Lawler challenged him to a match at WrestleMania. Cole accepted, and then Cole had this this like plexiglass box created, which he calls the coal mine, where he can sit to do commentary during the matches and be protected from Lawler.
And basically lob verbal pot shots at everybody the entire time from there.
The best development recently is that, you know, say what you will for TNA, and they're terrible, but they're far superior in women's wrestling. Mm-hmm. WWE's women's wrestling is god-awful. And Michael Cole kind of seized on that and has now made his habit to interject halfway into every women's match and go, "Can we just get this over so I can start talking again about stuff that's more important than this stupid match?" Which actually the crowd appreciates. I think that's the one time he gets any tears at all from the crowd.
It's sort of half and half with the crowd. Maybe about 60-40 people agreeing with what he says. But it's disrespectful enough that a whole lot of people don't really appreciate it. But it's so right.
It's
absolutely correct.
He's become great, and he's going to lose huge here.
Oh, it's going to be merciless.
Right.
How badly he loses.
What has to happen here is he's got Jack Swagger, or aka Jack Swagger, in his corner. And what absolutely has to happen here is Swagger needs to get involved somehow to punish Lawler. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, the special guest referee here, will undoubtedly put the stunner on at least Swagger, probably on Cole. Lawler will come off the second belt to take Cole out, and that'll be the end of the match.
Yeah, and, I mean, Vegas won't take odds on whether or not Steve Austin will hit it on Jack Swagger. That is the absolute guarantee of the entire tournament.
Yeah.
Or of the whole...
The night, yeah.
Yeah.
So Lawler wins. And Cole will take a vacation for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully come back in his typical troll self. I really hope he doesn't turn back into a typical by-the-book announcer when he comes back from this.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so final three matches. The match that they want to make into something huge, and I'm just not interested in it at all. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, a.k.a. Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, versus the Red Rocker himself, Underwear Taker. I just don't care.
No, these guys haven't been actually wrestling.
No, not for months. Neither one has done anything. They both came back in February on the same night and made this match in one of the most hilariously bad sequences in the history of Raw. Underwear Taker has been out since, I think, what, November-ish?
Oh, longer than that.
Has it been?
I think so.
I thought he wrestled at Survivor Series, but I could be wrong. It's been at least since the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Triple H has wrestled at SummerSlam.
I don't think so either.
Went out, made a terrible movie, had some surgery done. But they did this comical charade sequence on the night they both came back in February, where they both kind of gestured like monkeys at the WrestleMania sign and then scratched their balls, and before you knew it, there was a match.
And by the way, the little gesturing, that came after a good 3 minutes. And 3 minutes is a long time when it's them doing nothing but staring at each other.
Yeah.
That is all they were doing.
I feel like
200 seconds straight. And then the pointing, again, without saying a word, and then that was that, and then there was the match. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
I feel like the game, like, no pun intended, the game has passed Triple H by.
Like, yeah.
The whole, I'm going to look like a mutant sheepdog and not say anything and just act like a tough guy routine doesn't work anymore. Especially doesn't work when you're up against Underwear Taker, who doesn't say a word ever.
And it's too bad, because when he does talk, it's funny. It's not the funny that they want, but it's funny.
It's funny. They followed up the wordless promo, or it's what they call it, Careless Whisper, with this series of interviews or promos on Raw that, where the other one wasn't in the building. Like, they couldn't get the two, it's supposed to be one of the biggest matches of the night, and they couldn't get the two of them in the same building at the same time until the week before WrestleMania. It's been a month where they weren't doing this.
And when they did, you know, finally get them in the same building together, you know, per Lord, all they did was meet face to face.
Well,
like, that was a big thing.
And they had, like, to roll
I
out.
I want to look at you face to face.
And they had to roll out
you
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Because they needed somebody who could actually say something in the ring. They couldn't have those two going, I respect you very much, but I'm going to take you down. I respect you very much, but I'm going to take you down. They need somebody else in there to actually, like, add something to the mix. So they had to bring Michaels back.
And
which is, these are supposed to be two of the biggest names in the history of the entire business. And they can't even carry a match on their own anymore.
No, neither of them can. Neither of them have been able to do it basically since Underwear Taker versus Shawn Michaels last year.
And even then, it was only because of Michaels.
Yeah.
Now, Michaels was so great in the ring that, and so great in building the match itself that it made it, you know, at least the last 2 years when he fought Underwear Taker at WrestleMania made those matches entertaining, but it wasn't Underwear Taker was doing anything that made that happen, other than the streak.
Yeah, but I when they brought in Shawn Michaels out of nowhere, it was funny because, like, he did his full, you know, I'm coming down to the ring, like, he's dancing around, there's pyrotechnics, like, it's his full little shtick, except he's wearing this weird, like, stocking cap instead of a cowboy hat. So he's doing all this. Meanwhile, Underwear Taker and...
By the way, Adam.
Yeah.
He was also too old for sleeves.
Yes, that's correct. He was too old for sleeves at the same time.
All right, carry on.
He's dancing around, and like he finally makes his way into the ring after, you know, a good 2 minutes of prancing and
playing rat ass.
Yeah, and all the entire time, Triple H and Undertaker are just standing there in the ring. And then he gets in the ring and he's dancing around again and, you know, his music's still playing and he's hopping around and there's Underwear Taker just standing there in this duster and giant hat and glaring at him the entire time. And as absurd as comedy goes, I'm not sure I've seen better in the WWE in years. And again, completely unintentional, but holy Lord, was that funny.
Yeah, and these guys do just bleed unintentional comedy.
Yes.
They take their own places far too seriously, which makes the entire thing hilarious. And the idea that that we're supposed to care just because they're two old guys who've done this forever. They're not, you know, Underwear Taker's biggest best matches are against either guys who are equal in his size or guys who could carry the match athletically, because he doesn't have it anymore. His knees are shot, his back is shot, his shoulders had 9 different surgeries. Which is why he needed Michaels as a foil for the last 2 years, because Michaels, even with all of his back problems and everything else, could carry the physical part of the match.
Yeah, he would just fly around because the Underwear Taker would just stand there and make him fly around.
Right.
And it was a nice contrast in styles, yeah.
But Triple H hasn't done any... He starts with the same match in every match for the last 15 years.
I mean, basically. All he's done since coming back is, like, punching a guy who interrupts him for 45 seconds and then doing his extremely rapey finishing move on top of the announcer's table. By the way, like, seriously, the pedigree where he shoves the guy's head into his crotch.
I think we rename it the taint bomb.
Absolutely, because that is the rapiest thing I've ever seen in the WWE, and that includes Brutus the Barber Beefcake shaving the guy's head with his nuts hanging on his forehead, or, you know, or on his ear. If you go back and watch the Brutus the Barber Beefcake
Wait,
things, by
what?
The way, I didn't recognize it when I would first watch these, but if you watch, like, Brutus, you know, shaving the guy's head when he's knocked out, every single time, there's his, the nut part of his shorts, like, smashed up against the guy's face.
Okay.
So that was pretty rapey, too. But nothing as outright homoerotic as the pedigree.
Well,
it's gross.
It is gross, but, I mean, this is a no-holds-barred match, which just means that all of the shit that he does in every match will happen again. Hey, look, they're going to wrestle in the ring for about 3 minutes, and they're going to end up outside the ring.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be rolling around after hitting each other.
It's going to be throw the guy into the steps, break the table, go up the ramp, throw him into something at the top of the ramp, roll, come back down the ramp, steel chairs, probably throw him into the guardrail a couple times.
It will be slow.
It'll be incredibly slow. There's going to be so much dead time, no pun intended, where they're just laying on the ground, pretending to be really hurt.
And you think they're not going to make it back up?
And then they'll sneak in. There'll be about over under 2 counts in this match.
Oh, my God.
I'll say over under 18.
Over.
I think over is right.
Damn near 30.
It'll go on forever. The crowd will be bored. We will be bored. Everybody in the world will be bored with it except for the two guys who were in the ring.
Underwear Taker will try as many of his finishing moves as possible. Yeah, this match, by the way, is going to be like 60% finishing moves.
Right. How number of pedigrees the Underwear Taker takes? Over under 3.5.
I was going to say 3. But if you put the over-under at 2.5, I'm going over, and I'm putting a lot of money on it.
No, I said 3.5.
Yeah, but...
If I go to 2.5, well, then, of course, you're going to put a lot of money on it, because it's going to be at least 3. It's going to be...
He's going to win if he takes 3, and he's going to lose if he takes 4. They better not fucking give Triple H the win on this one, right?
I don't think even he has the ego to take a win here.
I don't think so either.
If they were to give it to anybody, they were going to give it to Shawn Michaels last year. Yeah, they're not going to give it to Triple H now.
They goddamn fucking better not.
He
hasn't wrestled in 9 months.
No, the end of the streak has to be a passing of the torch thing, and it can't be passing the torch to a guy who's also going to retire next year.
Yep.
I think they're going to get him to 20. They're going to drag him kicking and screaming out for 2 more years to get him to 20, and then either he retires before he gets to 21 or on the 21st, some youngster that they all really respect beats him.
Alberto Del Rio!
Oh, I love him so much. Okay, let's just go to that.
Yeah, okay. Let's
World
do that.
Heavyweight Championship. Edge, who I still don't know what I think of. It's been years now, and I'm all over the map on what I really think of that jackass. Versus, aside from maybe The Miz, the greatest up-and-coming wrestler in WWE, Alberto Del Rio, a.k.a. the Mexican JBL.
Yes, ADR.
ADR. For the uninitiated, Edge has been around forever. I think he first started with WWE in like 98 or something like that. He was a tag team partner with Christian. He did all kinds of other stuff. He's won the championship countless times, mostly because he's on SmackDown and seems to be happy over there, where nobody else wins it except for Underwear Taker when Underwear Taker is healthy. He's the current champion. He's kind of a war. He's okay. He looks like the lead singer of Fuel.
He looks very Queef Corey.
Yes, he could leave today and start his own Nickelback cover band.
Yeah, and they would sell out stadiums.
Yes. He's got a move called the Spear, which is him spearing somebody. It's not particularly creative. The only great part of Edge's run in the WWE was when he was with Vicky Guerrero, where they had a sham marriage, where Vicky was making sure that he kept the WWE or the World Heavyweight Championship, and he continued to be married to her in response or in exchange for that. But he's up against Alberto Del Rio, who won Royal Rumble, who has his own ring announcer, and who makes the ring announcer sing La Cucaracha occasionally. he drives to the ring in a Bentley, which they're quick to point out only eight of this model were made in a given year.
I think that they just, wherever they go, they rent a really nice car, because it's almost never the same car more than once.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. They go, every town they go to, they rent a car, and they're in Atlanta, so it's going to be something great.
Yeah.
But they,
they're like, oh, and I think he bought 2 of these. He's an aristocrat. Like, what? Yeah.
But
no one believes that.
That's the best part of it, is he's a Mexican aristocrat. Like, they said, what part of JBL do people hate? That he's a rich Texas oil tycoon. Let's move him a little bit further south.
let's just cross one little river here and see how people react.
Yeah, and he's such a, I mean, talk about trolls.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brilliant troll.
What I like about him is, you know, he comes out grinning ear to ear,
with a scarf.
Yes, wearing a scarf and waving to his fans, and generally very, very proud of himself, as we all should be if we were Mexican aristocrats.
As his announcer announces his name.
Yes.
In Spanish.
Which, again, amazingly, fans don't always respond positively to.
WWE fans not happy about the Spanish.
shockingly.
Yeah.
But once he gets into the ring, he has a really dark look in his eyes, and he wrestles that way too, which is just great.
My personal favorite part of the Alberto Del Rio experience, every time he gets in the ring, he says, "Hey, I'm Alberto Del Rio," but you already know that. So great. You're right though. He's actually, I mean, he's got a big grin on his face and he acts like kind of a, I don't know, he looks like he's the troll face, but.
Yes, it is the troll face. Yes.
But he wrestles completely different. He looks dark and sinister and will kick your ass at a moment's notice and drop you in that arm bar thing that he's got. Arm bar! And say goodnight.
Yeah, and I love that his finishing move is not just a submission move, but one that he uses to in the WWE fake world anyway, that he uses to injure people.
Right.
And really, if you pull off that armbar in real life, you can seriously injure somebody. You don't have to look very hard on YouTube for guys getting their arms broken in MMA with that exact same move. So,
and you know what's been great for WWE? That's the one really good part of MMA for them is that submission holds now.
Oh, they're so much better.
They're so much better, and they have so much more import. Like, it used to be that you'd have, you know, Boston Crab and Sleeper Hold, and now... Underwear Taker has a triangle choke and, you know, the armbar from Del Rio and, even
Daniel
Bryan's got a couple and even Cena's, crossface chicken wing thing.
Yeah, the toe hold.
Yeah. And speaking of ankle locks, Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger. Yeah.
I mean, they really have benefited from people understanding submission wrestling through MMA.
Mm-hmm.
But he's back to Del Rio. He's great. And he's going to win here.
Yes. I absolutely think he's going to win. And I think he's going to have, really a nice long run in the WWE, you know, provided he doesn't get himself into trouble outside of the ring. But, you know, he's your go-to heel in main events, I think.
Absolutely. Agree completely. And if they're willing to move him to Raw, the sky's the limit. I think right now they want to put some gold on him, give him a nice run as a champion. There's no need to push him into Raw right now anyway, because you already have a heel as your champion there. And, you know, see what he can do. And then maybe a year from now, he gets moved onto the Monday Night Show and the sky's the limit at that point.
Mm-hmm. I think
you don't give him the Royal Rumble if you don't give him the gold two and a half months later. So
yeah, I agree.
He has to win here. Which brings us to the last match of the night. Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. No, the one it's complicated to even discuss because we don't know what The Rock's role is, but John Cena versus The Miz. We've on previous podcasts discussed our general dislike for John Cena, although we agreed that the Monday night Raw show before WrestleMania was his finest work that we've seen in years. The best promo he'd cut, it was the one against The Rock.
And it was the first time that he ever was like, "Yeah, I sell to kids. Are you kidding me?"
Right. He finally took down his guard at being, you know, adored by everybody and said, "I'm here for the 6 to 11 year old market and you can keep all the rest to yourself. I don't care." I don't remember. Did Miz wrestle at last year's WrestleMania? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
He wasn't U.S. champion yet, I don't think. So, he's had a hell of a year.
No shit.
He won every belt imaginable. He won the U.S. title. He won the tag team titles twice. And then he won the world championship at Survivor Series and has held it since November. I mean, a four-month run with the WWE championship anymore is a long, long run.
Yeah, and he was holding belts like two at a time.
We had three there for a little while because he had the unified tag team titles, whatever the hell that is, where you had to carry around two belts apiece. Yes, yeah. Finally, after all these years, they've unified them. Oh, boy. But he was carrying three belts there for a while, and then he kind of lost all of those and somehow won the title and has been one hell of a champion, too. At first, they tried to make him like a falsified champion, like you do for anybody who kind of wins under false pretenses. But they've tried to build him up as a legitimate contender now, and as shocking as it seems, I don't think it's out of the question that he wins.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question either. I also don't think it's out of the question that he wins by nefarious means, because I'm not really sure that John Cena's just going to lay down and let him, you know, pin him clean, as they say.
Oh, he won't. No.
Which is a shame, because I'd like to see somebody actually do that. Like, the toughest guy that The Miz has been able to beat legitimately is, like, fucking Terry Morrison. Yeah. Lawler. So, I don't see a clean win happening, but depending on what the hell The Rock does here, this is just so impossible to figure out without knowing what the hell The Rock's
right.
going to do.
If there was something that The Rock did, or that we got that said, you know, he was going to be guest referee, or he was going to be, you know, in a triple threat match, or he was whatever it might be, you could try to come up with what's going to happen, but they've never said. I mean,
he's the guest host,
right? They've pushed Rock Cena since the moment The Rock showed up again, but they've never actually put him in the match. All we know is that he's going to be at Raw the night after WrestleMania, and that means that he has to be involved with something here.
Mm-hmm.
What that is, no one's really quite sure.
And the promos have been sort of hit and miss as far as making us want to find out what that's going to be. Like,
right.
I think all three of them have cut some great promos. But even as you know, while John Cena was making the promo of his life last night, The Miz just showed up and he was like, "Hey, you two, I'm still here." And then, like that was basically it. And then they tried to beat up The Rock, and it didn't work.
Well, yeah. I think Miz was kind of a victim of time there. I think they just wanted to get the show on the road at that point. But I don't know what to think of this. I mean, going into even the last pay-per-view, everybody thought either he was going to drop the belt to Lawler somehow, or he was going to retain, and he was going to lose huge at WrestleMania to John Cena. I still think that's probably more likely than not.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, it's not out of the question that The Miz somehow holds on here, or that somehow The Rock ends up doing something to change his entire match. Now, there's two things The Rock could do. One, The Rock could screw John Cena to get a Rock Cena feud going, which seems to have the most heat of anything they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that they're already selling The Rock being at the post-WrestleMania Raw, and you know that they're opening that one up with John Cena either way.
Right.
They always do that right after pay-per-views.
Right. I
could see that.
I could see that, especially because they know The Rock has to leave in June to go promote another movie. I think Faster's coming out, or Fast Five, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
He's got something coming out in June. I saw that the other day. So he's going to be gone in 2 months. So if you want to run a quick 2-month program with The Rock and then play right into John Cena's hand with, oh, he's got to leave to go promote a movie and leave the stage to Cena until SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That would be ideal,
but you know how it is with these things. Like, there's going to be like two or three things that come completely out of left field,
right,
at WrestleMania, that if we tried to guess you know, people would have just looked at us weird. Yeah. So, I'm going to be really interested to see what twist that they come up with for this.
Alex Riley is your champion.
A-Rod.
And he holds on to it for like 3 years.
Yeah.
He's the longest running champion. Everybody all over
Hogan. The place. Yeah.
Right. Or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we see a heel or a face turn from someone that we didn't see coming. Like, you know, I don't think that that's going to be Sheamus or anything like that, but someone's going to do something.
You know, there was a lot of buzz on Twitter last night about a Cena heel turn. I can't imagine they would do it.
No, he sells way too many shirts.
Yeah.
I think like he even admitted that he's there to sell to kids.
But a face-on-face Cena Rock thing would be interesting. Cause they played a different segment. I mean, you could actually keep them both as faces with their own little part of the fan base.
Yeah, it'd be the WWE's cute little Civil War.
Right. Which everybody's wanted for years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might be interesting. Okay. So, Adam Jacoby, gun to your head. Who holds the WWE Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, and the U.S. Championship at the end of the night?
Do I have to pick one person? Because that would be one hell of an end to WrestleMania.
One person holds them all. Like the Ultimate Warrior shows up out of nowhere. By the way, is there not an Intercontinental Championship match?
Oh, shit, there's not. Who's got it?
Isn't Kofi Kingston?
Oh, yeah.
The non-Jamaican Jamaican?
The all Jamaican American.
The all Jamaican, the Jamaican who sounds like he came from like Rockford, Illinois. Oh, you know who's got it? Won it last week. Wade Barrett.
Oh, that's right.
And they already had this match set because they have to get Kane and Big Show in there somehow. So, okay, that's why you don't have a championship match. That makes sense. Okay.
All right. What if the core loses and like Kozlov gets the internal?
By the way, on the Wikipedia page for a list of WWE Intercontinental Champions, they have the most ridiculous picture of Dolph Ziggler I've ever seen.
Well, we'll have to link that.
It'll be on the front of the page.
Okay. United States title, I think it's going to be Sheamus. I don't think anybody really cares for Daniel Bryan right now. So,
yeah.
Sheamus wins that one. World Heavyweight title, Alberto Del Rio.
But you already know that.
Whether by nefarious or legitimate means, I could see both happening. But we're certainly not at the point where Edge, like, won't let Del Rio pin him or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he won't pull a Hulk Hogan. As far as the title, I'm gonna go, with The Rock holding the WWE title.
You're a smart man. You're a very smart man.
Is that what you, I guess?
I was going to say the same three. Just for the sake of having a little bit of, because I will give you credit. You picked butt cut Wade Barrett to win the Royal Rumble. So for the sake of argument, I will say, I don't think there's any way that Del Rio doesn't win. I think they have to give Sheamus the title because he just won a couple weeks ago, and they have to give him a little bit more play. Otherwise, he turns into DiBiase, like just lost in the middle of the card. And Mr. Levesque won't allow that to happen. And I'll go ahead and say John Cena wins the title and sets up a 6-month reign, culminating with Cena Rock at SummerSlam.
I could see that.
Well, I'll go out on the limb and say that Snooki loses.
No.
No, Snooki won't lose. Snooki will win, and Snooki will win fast. But not before John Morrison does something that's both kind of awesome and incredibly douchey.
By the way, speaking of douchey John Morrison things, how fucking great was Vicky Guerrero's
entrance?
Promo?
That was awesome.
Oh, she just blew it up with one fell swoop. And because it is, it's ridiculous. Like, get this fucking slow-mo off my TV screen. Don't act like you want people to expect that things like time actually slows down whenever John Morrison steps into a room. It doesn't fucking work that way.
that's an interesting point because I feel like this has become the fight in the WWE, and The Rock coming back solidifies it. It is what you talked about with the Civil War. It is the old school smart asses who are totally in on the joke versus the faces who were there for the kids.
Yeah.
And
so, and here's the thing that I'll just point out is that ever since Linda lost her congressional run, they've been sort of trending back toward the old school smartasses.
Yeah.
And, you know,
maybe the McMahons have decided that their public persona doesn't really matter that much.
Maybe. And if so, it's probably bad news for Cena and Morrison.
You know what'd be great news for? Shane McMahon. And that would be great news for all of us if Shane O'Mac came back in his hockey jersey.
Do you know what he's doing now?
He's an MMA promoter.
Do you know where?
I don't know where.
China.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, he figured, hey, China is like 5 times the size of the USA. So, you know, we can, if we get some pay-per-view stuff going over there, we will make shitloads of money. It's a cunning plan that he hasn't really thought all the way through, but you have to admire his moxie all the same.
Yes, that and the amount of money he has behind him in case it fails.
That too.
Yeah. But hey, Shane O'Mac, love the guy. Wish he would come back. By the way, when we're...
Come back, Shane O'Mac.
For those listening, there's a WrestleMania viewing party planned for the Des Moines Mafia here, and we're bringing in outside help in the form of Tom Fornelli. But we will be watching the rise and fall of WCW at some point Sunday. And that includes... That and Monday Night War, I think we'll watch too. Both of those include clips from the last Nitro, where Shane shows up on the set and says, "I bought WCW," which is like the greatest moment ever. Because Vince thought he had bought WCW, but had left the contracts like sitting on a coffee table, and so Shane bought it out from under him. Which set up like this invasion angle where they had Shane bringing WCW guys over to kick WWE's ass. It was great.
I remember that. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's WrestleMania. It's freaking awesome. And we'll leave the thread open for everybody else. And until we get back to real sports next week or the week after, we'll probably talk basketball at some point here. We got to do a post-mortem. In the meantime, go Miz.
Go Miz.
Awesome.